Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Camella. How are you? I've missed you. I hope you've missed me too. I'm so sorry we missed each other last week, but your girl was busy. I had a lot of things to do, and I just couldn't get my host hooked up for me last week. But I'm all good now, and I have a special treat for you. I have a very special guest who's called in, and we're going to be discussing living your dream or following your passion while you have a 9-to-5 job and how you can get that done. And my guest today is John Champion. He's a nationally known comedian out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and may I add, a very good and dear friend that knew me way back in the day. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Tiffany. It's great to hear from you. Great to hear your voice.
Okay, John, you know, only you can call me by my government name. You have that permission. That's okay. We good. We people. We are people, so you can do that. You are one of the few people who can get away with calling me by my government name. But that's
okay.
You
know, right, Lord?
You know what? I don't think I even told you. But it's all good. I'm loving it. I am loving
it.
I've
listened to the show, and I don't know why. She'll just always be Tiffany to me, you know, back since middle school and high school and cross paths in the Navy and, you know, been all over the world. So I'm really, really proud of you. You've accomplished a lot. And so it's great to hear you on the radio expressing yourself and giving great advice to people. So glad to be a part of your show.
Hey, it's my pleasure, because this show probably would not be on the air if it wasn't for you. I mean, you have been my inspiration. I mean, I think the job that you've done between television and radio has just been awesome. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be like John when I grow up.
You are going to mess around and make a black man blush. I'm just saying, okay? And all this talk of growing up, listen, it's overrated, all right? You just keep doing what you're doing. But I really appreciate that. I appreciate that.
No problem. But, you know, I like I said, I really admire you and all the things that you've done, and that's why I asked you to be on my show today, because I just thought you were the perfect candidate to talk about, you know, following your dream or passion, even if you have to maintain a 9-to-5 job that may or may not necessarily be your passion. And I just... First, you know, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Wow. Well, I'm a morning news producer for a 24-hour news channel in North Carolina, and it's a lot of work, a lot of detail-oriented, making sure the scripts match the video and making sure all the details are correct, the information is right, that everything gets on the air and on the web and all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot of fun. You're always up on what's going on in the world. I mean, it's 24-hour news, so there's really no stopping, you know.
Wow.
But
I've
always worked in radio and never thought I'd work in TV. And let's see, growing up, always had an interest in the arts and performing. And somehow or another, I did wind up on TV doing traffic for a while. And
I think I remember that,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And made my way now behind the scenes, and you know, I'm booking guests for the show and doing all kinds of crazy things. But it's a lot of fun. You know, if I was 18 years old, it wouldn't be, you know, my first choice.
Right.
I'd want to be somewhere where people were applauding for me, you know, feeding my ego. Yeah. But,
hey.
You know, we do what we have to do because, you know, that bank still wants their money for these cars
exactly.
And these houses. So, you know, you can't pay them in jokes or, you know, fish plates.
Right.
So, you know, we got to do what we got to do and take care of responsibility. But, I do stand-up comedy as often as I can, as much as I can. as much as my schedule will allow. I like to write jokes. I like to perform. And, you know, it is a challenge having a full-time job and wanting to do something in the arts. You know, there's many challenges, like, you know, you might not be able to travel as much or,
right.
you know, participate mm-hmm. in productions, you know, as often as you like. And, you know, and of course, you got to deal with the people that, you know, you work with sometimes who, mm-hmm. you know, can hate.
I was going to ask if there was any hate going on there, you know.
Oh, boy. Gallon jugs of hate. Yeah, man, if I could sell that hate, boy, I could put that hate in cars, man. I could solve the gas problem, I tell you. And, you know, some of it, you know, just kind of take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, you realize, excuse me, as you get older, you know, you run into people that didn't really have a dream of doing anything other than, you know, working.
Right, right, exactly.
You know. You say, okay, well, you know, didn't you want to paint or draw? Or didn't you ever see yourself, you know, contributing something to the world other than punching a clock, you know? And, you know, so you'll run into that. And you just have to take it with a grain of salt and scratch your head and say, doggone, well, you knew I did this before you hired me. You know?
Right,
You read my resume. I wasn't trying to hide it, you know, but it is what it is, you know. And I think, trying to be creative, you know, and I laugh and joke and I tell people, you know, I think it keeps me from going upside people's heads, you know, during stressful situations because it's good to have an outlet. And I bet a lot of the people that hate have an outlet and don't even realize they have an outlet.
So, I mean, how long have you been doing the comedy?
Wow. I tell people, well, I was born black. So, you know, it's been a while.
I love you.
Too much. Going back, I would say I got really, really serious about performing in clubs as often as I could. Probably about 2000. Yeah, sorry, about 2000.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been added a little dipping here, dipping there, making some good moves, and, you know, doing as much as I can, as much as, you know, you can when you have a family and responsibility. And,
Was there any particular event? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there event that happened that you just said, you know what, I really have to put more time and more energy into my comedy if I'm going to, you know.
You are so on it. I got divorced, you know, and going through that divorce was really, really stressful. And, you know, my first wife, not to disparage her or anything, but, you know, she didn't really support the fact that I wanted to do something artistic. And, you know, so maybe part of it was like, ha, I'll show you. I'm going to do what the hell I want. And then I think a lot of it, too, was, you know, there was just so much going on, so much legal crap to deal with and so much emotional stuff. And I figured the best way to deal with it without winding up, you know, with a picture on the news and a mugshot profile was to, you know, write about it and talk about it in my own way, you know. And so that's what got me going, you know, that last time. So
I can totally identify with you because, as you know, about 6 or 7 months ago, I had a life-changing event myself due to some health matters, and I lost my voice for like 2 months or so, maybe a little bit longer. And as you know from middle school, hey, I've always had a nice voice and always kind of thought that I really wanted to be in radio, although things never kind of worked out, and then we reconnected 20 years later at a radio station, and you were there working, and here I come rolling in as an intern. Yes.
You
know. So, you know, life is small when things happen, but when I, and even after that time of, you know, being an intern at a radio station and a couple of TV stations here and there, and then seeing the change in radio, I kind of decided, well, maybe I'll step back and do something different. And then I, too, divorced. And then I just decided I was going to go across the world and live somewhere else for a couple of years. And then coming back and, you know, losing the voice for 2 months, it was like, you know what? This is crazy. I've always wanted to be in radio. Why am I letting money be an issue? Because for me, that was the thing. I was like, oh, man, I can't make any real money in radio, or I can't, you know, I can only do it part-time. So what? You know, is it your dream or not? Is it your passion or not? Because if you love it enough, you're just going to do the damn thing. And that's where I finally got to the point. I was like, whether I have one damn listener out there, hey, I'm doing it.
There you go. There you go. Follow your passion. Because it makes you happy. It makes people around you happy because, you know, if you're miserable at what you're doing, you know, if you don't have some kind of outlet, you know, if it's reading, if it's listening to music, if it's gardening, if, you know, something. Do something that makes you happy. That's my advice to anybody, whatever it is, and don't let anybody try to stop you from doing it, interfere, postpone you, keep you from doing it because, you know, negative folks get in your path and have something to say to distract you. You know, you have the option to, you know, keep talking to them, click off, whatever it takes. But, you know, just follow your passion and do what makes you happy because being happy, life's too short not to be happy. So.
Most definitely. I mean, that's, you know, I would give the same advice if I was talking to someone. You know, I mean, to me, it really doesn't matter the age range, whether you're just leaving high school or you're 60 years old and ready to retire, hey, maybe that's a new time to, maybe you worked for 30 to 40 years and never really got to pursue your passion. Well, maybe now that you're retired, you can do that. So it's never too late. You know, I'm constantly trying to let people know it's never too late to really do what you want to do. The only time it's too late is when you're in that coffin. That's when it's too late.
Yeah, that's about it. And it's that pretty much means the clock's up.
Yeah,
but we don't want to wait that long. That is it.
Until that time, you can always reinvent yourself. I mean, I'm probably the queen of reinventing myself, you know.
You are not kidding. There you go, and that's awesome.
I think it's sometimes important to, you know, go back and look at, okay, I've done this, and this for X amount of years. Am I ready for a change? Or, you know, how can I maybe do this differently? Or just be, you know, not live in fear and just take a chance sometimes. No, I think a lot of times we get caught up in being secure and comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And so that may prevent us.
You constantly hear how bad the economy is. So, you know, people are afraid to make a move. And, you know, sometimes it happens that, like you said, people get comfortable. But it's all about making yourself happy. So find out what that is. And that's a big challenge for a lot of people. A lot of people just don't know what they want. You know?
Right, exactly. Because I think we get so caught up in comparing ourselves with others. And so it tends to make us even more unhappy because we see this person with XYZ, but we don't really know their story.
Exactly.
We just know what's on surface and what they're presenting.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. You don't, keeping up with the Joneses, it's not where it's at. Because a lot of times, you know, so-and-so has the fly ride, but, you know, if you got a fly ride, but you're riding around on E all the time, begging everybody for $3 to put a gallon in to get 30 more miles, you know, I mean, it's really worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's only good in the car, but you better.
I mean, you make excellent points because I'm like, if you're really passionate and loving something, as you were saying earlier in the call, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't pay your bills with these fish plates and things like that. But then again, in the end, if you are, you know, putting a little bit out there to follow your dream, even though you may not be getting back as financially as much as you want, sometimes in other ways you're getting things back. Maybe it's, you know, someone networking with you or, you know, recommending you to somewhere else or, you know, just in small other ways. So it doesn't, the payback doesn't always have to be in the money. I mean, yes, we all would want that. We all need that. But sometimes the payback just comes in other ways.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, just, that's a great point. You know, you look and say, well, what's the payoff? You know, by doing this, am I going to get financial reward, or, you know, am I just going to, you know, feel better inside because, you know, I got to express myself? You know, that's it. It's and like I said, it all goes back to people knowing what they want and not knowing what they want. And, you know, sadly, there's a lot of that going on in the world. You know,
yes,
but,
yes.
I think I've had this huge ego.
Can you share with the listeners any, like, positive or funny thing that may have happened to you in your pursuit of being a comedian?
Oh, my, can I? Wow.
That made it so worth you, like, maybe, I don't know, missing some time from your family or, you know, from work. That was, you know, a big payoff.
You know, a couple of years ago, I took it upon myself. I said, man, I am just going to go. And, four or 5 years ago, just took off. Got a room in a hostel in New York. So I'm like deciding I'm going to do as many open mic shows as I can in New York in a couple of days and audition for Last Comic Standing. So it was cold. You know, I'm from the South, you know. Yeah, you know, so yeah. I mean, it was like standing outside in line for, you know, 9-10 hours. Are we going to get in? Is anybody going to even get to see me do these jokes? You know, but it was really worth it. Got to, like I said, network with a lot of folks, got to see, you know, how the game is played and, you know, the importance of having an agent, good representation, and got to learn a lot in a short time and make some good friends that I keep up with to this day. And
wow.
It's really got to get away from home, get away from my comfort zone, and stand on stage in front of other comedians who are usually critical. Comedians are the worst to each other. You know, there's nobody at a show, and you're at an open mic, and it's all comics. We're just looking, you know. It's like we don't laugh at each other's stuff. We're just taking it all in. But, you know, but to make some total strangers, some hardcore New York comics laugh and say, hey, man, you know, I like your material. That's all right. That made me feel like, man, you know, this is, I can do this, you know. So that was real energizing. And went to Las Vegas a couple of years ago for a contest and got to meet main man Gallagher. You know, he wasn't smashing watermelons. He was just chilling, but got to see Gallagher, you know, just chilling in a casino. And that was, like I said, just a, you know, I'm ex-military, ex-Navy, just like you. So I miss that travel. I guess looking at comedy, it's like, man, it's another way I can, you know, get out and see different places, meet different people, you know.
Right.
So,
just like another extension of the many other interests that you have.
There you go.
So tell us, so where do you find that you get most of your material for your shows?
Oh, man, family all day. Oh my goodness. You know, you can't pick and choose your family. Boy, I tell you, but mine are a gold mine for material. My dad is 83 years old and he is just like the living no fiction Fred Sanford. I mean, this guy, he gets into just so many situations, things that would just make you go, are you pulling my leg? No, really. No. You are old enough to know better. I can't believe you are doing this to me. Yeah. He keeps me. I'm an only child, so I'm the only one to take care of him. So he keeps me busy, you know, running off the young chicks. You name it. Yeah. He's something else. His doctor says, well, I hope I'm doing it like you're doing it when I'm 83. I'm just hoping it's in the genes. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, he's something else.
Well, that's good to hear. That's funny because you know I can identify my mom. I'm her only child, so yes.
Oh,
they can be
okay.
Quite a handful.
Yeah, it's a tough job raising a parent, man. I tell you, they get 65
yeah,
or 70.
I'm telling you.
They're going to do what they want. You know what I'm saying?
Man, he
walked outside the other morning. It was cold. I pick him up in the mornings when I get off work and take him to a little activity with some other senior citizens, some other active seniors. It's cold.
Yes,
he gets in the car talking about, "Whoa, so cold. I want to get with my woman and make our baby."
Ooh,
and I just looked
wow.
at him. And all I could think was, "Could you just never tell anyone else that? Could you please?"
Right.
Could you please, you know, like, yeah, he's,
you know,
and I'm like, you know, you need a woman closer to your own age. He's like, I'm 83. I don't want no 80-year-old woman. That's 106 years in the bed. I'm just like, stop. I'm threw up in my mouth just a little bit. Yeah.
It must be something in the water because, my mom just recently got remarried here back over the summer, and yes, he was after the young ones. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, dude is only probably like 9 years, not even 9 years older than me.
Okay.
Right. Now, I will say this, that she just turned 60 this past month. So, but still, she likes them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just the exact opposite, but yeah,
right,
I guess you get to a point at a certain time in your life and you're just like, you don't give a damn no more.
and you're just going to do what
you want to do.
That's it. He is doing his own thing. That's it. And I'm just picking up pieces and explaining to people, please, I know you hurt your feelings. It's okay. Just, you know. Yeah. Yeah, because he says whatever is on his mind. There is no filter. The filter is gone. So,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. I think it must be something about once they hit their, like, 70s or something, like, the filter screen just goes away.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with a lot of elderly people in the past, and I was raised by my grandmother, as you well know, and it was like, that chick, man. She didn't care what came out of her mouth.
Yeah. Typical conversation with my dad is, he's going to hurt somebody's feelings. He, you know, he's supposed to go to a funeral tomorrow, and I just don't want to be a part of it because, you know, he's like, just at your most difficult time, he wants to remember that bad moment that you're trying to forget. Like, I ain't seen you since your father's funeral. Did they ever figure out what it was that killed him? Was it a bear or a grizzly bear? I was one of the pallbearers, and we had to use three caskets. It was like a messed up game of three-card Molly. I think I had defeat. That's my dad. I'm just saying.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Oh, man, we got to love him, though. We got to love him.
Yeah.
Where would we be without him, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'd be lost without him, and I'm going to miss him terribly when that day comes. But, yeah, he's the handful. That's my guy.
So, I mean, what tips, if someone 45 came up to you and said, you know, John, I've just really had this thing for comedy or radio or I don't know. I want to do something different now. What advice?
Right.
And you know, it doesn't really even have to be in the entertainment field. What advice would you give to someone in their, I like to call it the midlife crisis zone in their 40s?
I hear you. Wow. Well, I would tell them to seek out an expert. Go to as many classes, go talk to some people, find out the ins and outs, the pros and cons. You know, if they want to get into comedy, I'd tell them to, you know, take a writing course. There are stand-up comedy courses. You know, there's schools for it, actually, in New York.
Wow.
And, you know, I would tell them to, you know, go ahead and just get out there, you know, because when you think about it, if you just get out there, if you just make yourself known, You know, put yourself in the right position, right situation, around the right people. You know, just put your foot in the water, give it a try, and see if you like it. And then, you know, sky's the limit. Just, you know,
right.
Get out there and talk to people. You never know if you don't try, you know. So
exactly.
Get out and talk to people that are doing it. And, you know, see what the lifestyle's like and, you know, see if it really agrees with you. And that's with anything, not just comedy. You know, if you want to make a career change, whatever, just get out and check it out first. Don't, you know, can't, never could. I had a middle school teacher used to say it all the time. You know? Just jump on out there.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, I was going to point that out as well, that, you know, it doesn't matter what field you may be in. You know, you'll never know if you don't try. And it's all about preparation and research, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Research
oh, yeah.
it, you know, find out, like you said, talk to other people already in the field. And,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, don't get discouraged if you might, you know, hear negative feedback because, you know, that's just that maybe that one person. So make sure you speak
oh, yeah.
to a variety of people.
Oh, yeah.
See what's going on in that industry, you know,
that's
especially
it.
For someone who might be in their 40s or so, you know, and with, like you were saying earlier about the economy, with today's economy, you might actually be forced to follow that dream because maybe
yeah,
your
you know
real nine-to-five job has, you know, stopped.
That's it. That's it. So, you know, you find ways. You know, I started a podcast. I had a blog, and I added a podcast to it. And, you know, right now I'm not selling any merchandise on it, but I know that's coming. You know, or are asking for donations. Well, you know, eventually it'll get to that point. But it's champcomedyblog.com. And I found that, you know, just by writing, you know, trying to write every day, you know, about life experiences, funny things I see, things in the news, you know, it helps me generate material. And I get a lot of stuff that I put in my set from stuff I put on the blog or just, you know, That's a good way to keep fresh ideas coming. And like you said, it's with the economy, you never know. One day it might be, you know, I might be sitting in a room with writers on Letterman and Leno. Oh, Lord, we got to come up with 30 minutes, you know. So
yes, right.
That's
exactly.
It. That's it. So,
exactly. Wow.
All what you put into it.
Exactly. Yep. Life is short. And so why not follow your dream? And just at least attempt it, you know, because
nothing
is a failure if you never even try it. So
you know what I'm saying?
Know.
And it's not like it was back in the day, back in the 70s when we were coming up, you know, it's like, man, you don't have to sit somewhere and wait to be discovered, you know?
Right.
It's true.
Exactly.
It's truly whatever you want to do, you know. You got a webcam on your phone, on your computer, on your, you know, put together your tape. Put together your, you know, your MP4 and, you know, set it up, put it out there, you know.
Yeah.
You're only limited by your imagination and your marketing ability now.
There you go. And if you have to go back to school, there are tons of online schools that are accredited and reputable.
Tons.
So, you know, if it's one, for example, my other side gig or passion is counseling and therapy. So,
yeah.
Along with doing this little radio show and working my real government 9-to-5, I'm also in school so that I can become a marriage and family counselor online.
Well, that's cool.
And so
awesome.
That's the great thing now about online schooling, that if you do want to, you know, recreate yourself or, you know, follow another dream that requires education possibly, that opportunity is there.
You got it. You got it. That's it. So many opportunities to learn and grow. And, yeah, you are more than the Renaissance woman. I tell you what, you have done so much. You've been all over the world, and that's a great thing. You got lots of great stories and experiences to share. And I'm glad you're doing the show. Glad you're taking care of yourself so you can stick around and keep sharing those things with people.
Most definitely. And once again, let me give you a great big hug from New Orleans. For,
right.
you know, willing to speak with me today. This has been the fastest 30 minutes ever. I love it. And it was great hearing your story and you sharing with us. I really, really appreciate it.
No doubt, no doubt. Great talking to you, Tiffany. Thank you so much. And I messed it up again. Yeah.
That's quite okay. Like I said, you have that past. We have that history. You have the past. You can call me little bit, shorty, whatever, because we've been there.
You got it. Are we ever going to get a seat on this bus? Exactly. That is where my mind was going. Are we ever going to get a seat on this bus? That's it.
That is right. That from Ligon was GT Ligon Middle School in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's where we did our thing.
You got it. From the lip sync contest to plays and being the first black Scrooge and the first black Hobbit. I tell you what, we were we had the ground to dream on, so it was cool.
That is right. From the beginning. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to our show today. We were live with John Champion from Raleigh, North Carolina, and you've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Camella on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day. See you next week.